This is not a conversation, because you have nothing to offer me. Your insights, your novel ideas, your next great American novel drivel. I've hashed, rehashed, and triple hashed through every experience you think you alone have suffered through. Jobs and girls, that's all you men talk about. But, my friend, when we walked through the garden, under the big terebinth, that was something unlike anything you'll ever know. And the worst of it is, the dagger in my heart is that our conversations were give and take. It wasn't just him teaching me. My friend was far superior to me. I am who I am because of him. But somehow, I think he was surprised by what I had to say. We were in love in that way. You wouldn't understand.
A quote from Adam, the first man.
Idiot.
Solve the World, a fictional adventure told in 100 episodes. Episode 90, Meltdown of Remembrance. In our next lecture, we will survey the bounty that is resurrection myths from ancient cultures, starting at first with Egypt, and the resurrection stories of Horus, and finishing up somewhere around the 12th century CE in Quetzalcoatl of the Aztecs. I look forward to seeing you there. Please insert second tape to watch Dr. D.S. Korlak's second lecture on The Tree and the Resurrection, from Yggdrasil to Ragnarok. Welcome to the sacred classroom of Reverend and Dr. E.S. Korlak. In this lecture, Dr. Korlak will examine the universality of the tree in ancient creation mythology. Is there a fundamental reason that every tribe and tongue is drawn to the tree as a wellspring of inspiration? Or is its universality merely a work of convenience and chance? DS is on the stage, ready to fill our minds with truth. Let's join him now. Nate wanted stories. Petra wanted evidence. Their friend, Jenna Finn, was more than she first appeared to be. She was not Jenna, but Jen, not Finn. But Dash. They'd chosen to ride the ocean waves across the world with her. They'd put their trust in this shell of a character. They were owed answers. Stories. At least that much. Jennifer was slow to respond. She evaded answering questions directly, at first saying she'd tell them everything, quote, in time. Whatever that meant. But after one awkward dinner together, it became eminently apparent that this issue needed resolving. Mutiny wasn't out of range. They were still closer to home, closer to Slovenia, than this magical island of Eden. So, she gave in. She asked them for a day of silence to prepare. Nate and Petra warily agreed. What other choice did they have? They assumed a day of silence implied that they were going to have to wait until dawn of the next day. They were mistaken. As soon as the sun set and the last of twilight's illuminescence reflected off the sea's face, Jen began her work. The sky was clear, thousands of stars beamed down, the ocean was calm. If Petra had been more observant, she would have spied Jen yanking ropes around here and there high up on the mainsail mast. Everyone! Out! The Theater of Remembrance has begun! Jen roared. A spotlight shone up towards the mast of the ship. Jen, 25 feet up, yanked a lever and down swooped the mainsail. From above, Jen barked out orders. Petra was to grab an edge of the mainsail and pull it to the port side edge. She was told then to tie the edge of the fabric down in place. As for Nate, it took a moment for his eyes to adjust and take in the scene. They had made the mainsail into a stage backdrop, a convex arena. In that semicircular space, down swang Jennifer Dash, standing tall. Another order followed, and the spotlight was positioned directly on Jen's visage. An aura of anticipation was palpable. The anchor set. Nate and Petra took a seat. Jennifer Dash cleared her throat and began. A video on YouTube has 2.3 million hits. It's titled, Why Jen Dash Has to Be Alive and Dead. Right, so my name is Hunter Pevensey, I'm 16, and I'm here to prove in under 10 minutes why Jen Dash is alive and dead. Let's examine first the plague.
No tree can grow to heaven unless its roots reach down to hell. Hello. I'm Dr. D.S. Korlach. That quote from Carl Jung, we shall see, finds truth on multiple levels. By inserting this tape into its reader, by staring at your screen and listening to words processed through carbon, you and I are shaking hands. We are making a pact, sharing an agreement. I am going to inform your mind and soul about the truth, the big truth of existence. You will listen, ingest it into your bowels. Some of you will find my words, my truth, displeasing. You will find yourself at a place in space and time that does not allow you to internalize the big truth. You'll vomit out my words, just as you'll vomit out your tape from its reader. This is fine. I do not begin to imagine that it is by chance that we've run into one another. Perhaps my words aren't for you of today, but instead, the you of some tomorrow.
Theater of Remembrance, come take this chance. Hear what will be heard, quiver not at fate's foretold. Once upon a lifetime, before I reached my prime, I exited my small world, my mind all swirled, in hopes of finding meaning somewhere, somehow streaming, roads where truth fell from the heavens, rivers flooding the banks of destins. This I wanted, that I taunted. There had to be a way to understand that I wasn't living in a dreamland. To be or not to be, that is the question, a question without an answer. Am I doomed to the cancer of a life full of doubt, action without payout? I wondered. So I embarked upon a journey, determined not to exit in a gurney. This is my new life. How'd I know it would include a fife? This is my new life. But I found love so quickly. What about that fife? Love ran away so drastically. This is my new life. This is my new life. This is my new life. This is my new strife.
The Papal Va the ancient scriptures of the Maya people reports that the first created thing was the Tree of Life, and all further creation emanates from it. It connects the three realms, and what we can see of it, its middle, holds the Axis Mundi, the navel of the cosmos. This is where we live, at the navel, the center point of all existence. But if we examine our ancient cultures, we can hear echoes from those who have gone above and those who've descended down below. In this way, we prepare ourselves for the resurrection, but we're not there yet. Let us continue by examining the various Tree of Life stories. The fruit from the Tree of Life changes us. In the Garden of Eden, we see that the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil illuminates Adam and Eve's eyes. After tasting, they can see.
Atticus ran away. Why did I love him? He was cute. Why was my affection so absolute? I barely knew him. I got over it. He fell to pieces. Atticus, he's just a little twit. Then there was Antonio. Thought he was my Romeo. First he took me on a kissing spree, then tried to have his way with me. I can't be taken. Not like that. The abominable brat. So I screamed. And because I blasphemed, they had me punished. For love, I've always languished. After Lilith Babbitt's crazy ascension, or whatever, Jen Dash became a household name, and for a while, she was nothing but a new, random celebrity name. But then we started figuring out how the plague started and spread. You see, Captain Alfred Bacon, went on a media circuit proclaiming that his ship came across a mysterious island led by Russians, and that this mysterious island was the epicenter of the disease, or rather, included the Lonely Plague's Patient Zero itself. This quickly spiraled out of control, and all of a sudden, gobs and gobs of media outlets started researching, and at first, everyone agreed.
The Russians did it!
This was a brilliant newfangled form of terrorism / international espionage / new Cold War turned into stinking lava craptacular! Ask me again why I tried to solve the world. Why I so badly wanted Earth's mysteries unfurled.
Jesus dies for the sins of the world by hanging on a tree. He is, make no mistake, a human sacrificed to the god above all. Odin, too, in Norse mythology, is sacrificed to the god above all by hanging on a tree. Listen to the words, translated, of course, from the prose Edda, taken from the 137th stanza of the poem Havamal. Odin himself says, "I know that I hung on a windy tree 9 long nights, wounded with a spear, dedicated to Odin. Myself to myself, on that tree of which no man knows from where its roots run." Odin is dedicated to Odin in Yggdrasil, the tree of life and death, as we now see. Many interpret the name Yggdrasil, this tree that connects the worlds, as Odin's horse. Ygg being a form of Odin's name, and Drasil meaning horse or gallows. But I'm inclined towards F. Detter's interpretation. Terror's gallows. Ygg sometimes being inclined towards the meaning. Terror, don't you understand it? Now, with your heart's all-seeing eye, the Tree of Life is a terror to some. Yes. But it's also Terror's gallows. The place where misery, horror, pure evil, is hung to death. Yggdrasil may look horrible, as all things of monstrous proportions do, but just as the cross of Christ puts to death the second spiritual death, Yggdrasil, in its final incarnation, will destroy terror itself. Don't you want that? Is that not beautiful to you? Do you not want that as an ending?
Boom! World War III. Everybody kills everybody, but all this mayhem and destruction came from one man, Captain Alfred Bacon,
da-da-da-da,
who was the skipper from some bizarrely inspired adventure schooner. What century is this? There's no such things as adventure schooners in the bliming 21st century. And boom, the real facts come down the pike. Friggin' Sky Surfer, Magical Kingdom owner Lilith Child Sacrificer Babbitt paid for the expedition. And who else is on the boat? This boat, by the by, filled with various scientific wizards? Who's on it? Some random nobody girl named Jennifer Calling, a.k.a. Jennifer Dash. Next up, we're getting reports from all over the place that after her sailboat shenanigans, Jen was palling around with Babbitt in Europe trying to get their hands on some ancient text written by the Mad Arab.
Croatoan much?
This is the general consensus, which I think is untrue for several reasons, but we'll get to that later. The point is, Jen's uber famous, lipstick celebrity. Only prob is Bob. She's nowhere to be seen.
Mysterious.
Oh, wait. Here she is claiming her rightful throne as mayor of Poduncanville, Texas Town, USA. There's a parade, banners, American flags waved by curly-haired blonde three-year-olds, and kablammo! Terrorists attack. Everybody dies, except Jenny, of course, can't be found. Was she part of it? Is she the ultimate terrorist? Theater of Remembrance, come take this chance. Hear what will be heard. Quiver not at fate's foretold. I'll tell you a secret. It'll make you vomit. For your own sake, be careful. I am, after all, so very futile. There's no hidden meaning. Nothing to uncover, no semblance of reasoning. The end holds no lover. Theater of Remembrance, come take this chance. Hear what will be heard, quiver not at fate's foretold. I followed him to the ends of the earth. Though my chances slim, I did indeed follow him. Maybe our union would bring mirth. It did not. What had God wrought? I'll tell you. I was among the few, destined to walk the plank. Through the glass house crank, I died there. He was unaware. I died there. What did he care? Like a cow in a slaughterhouse, me he'd never espouse. He played dead while I died. New Zealand, I would not survive. Still, I forgave him, not knowing just how grim my destiny remains. I am the one in chains.
Most of us are familiar with the Tree of Life as recorded in Genesis, in the midst of the Garden of Eden. But did you know there's another reference in the Christian holy book to that very famous tree? As it is in the beginning, so it is in the end. The last chapter of the last book of the Bible, Revelation, reads this way. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship it. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be night no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, but the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. In the end, you see, we eat of the fruit of the tree of life. We are not accursed for it. We are not banished. It brings healing, redemption, and 12 flavors. Excellent.
No. Next, she's coming in long and hard on satellites all over the globe, preaching a new gospel. The aliens are coming. The aliens are coming. She's telling us that the story's gone too long, too far. Our only chance as the friggin' world is to back that butt up and press rewind. But we are mere mortals, Jen. We do not know how to go back in time. We cannot defy the laws of thermodynamics. We do not know how space and time work. And she says to us, come, sweet alien gods, take us back. Give your dollars to the Institute. And remember, we can't save ourselves. Can't be done. Help us. Megatron Kenobi, you're our only hope.
Theater of Remembrance, come take this chance. Hear what will be heard, quiver not at fate's foretold. Once upon a lifetime, there was a man of rhyme, the firstborn of all the earth, destined to be of infinite worth. I've met him, you see, by fate or decree. Your Jenny Dash heard his words.
I failed.
The truth is, we're all bastards. There is no love, no descending dove. Life is pointless, how's that for bliss? Call me vain, kill me slain. But the truth is, I've failed, for my hope of happiness has sailed. to distant shores beyond every horizon. I'm Jenny Dash, the Despondent.
If you look with the right eyes, you will soon find that every culture, every ancient society with its ancient myths, legends, and writings include a tree of life. These trees bear remarkable similarity, one to the next. Each has its roots that burrow deep down into the underworld, branches that hold up our terrestrial existences, and leaves that blossom only in the heavens.
Then the crazies claim her. Them smugly folks say she gave herself to the crazy as nuts glass house. Body identified, fortified, thrown on display for all the paparazzis to slam on their front pages.
Voila!
Oh yeah, they acted like they didn't want anyone to know. Don't believe the hype. Smugly, that sly fox, knew what he was doing. It was a media hit.
You see this? This thing? It's not my hand. No Disneyland, Hinterland, Splinterland. I am not myself because there is no such thing.
Theater of Remembrance, come take this chance. Hear what will be heard. Quiver not at fates foretold.
Fates? Who are you?
Devils who twist and screw. There is no God, there is no sun. I am a fraud. All I can do is run. Run away before I pay the Reaper.
These branches leading up into the upper world, we can describe adeptly to ourselves as something perhaps more concrete than celestial sprouts. Yes, see it now. Picture it in your mind's eye. You see it, don't you?
Here's the thing, though. There's eyewitness accounts from every which way but loose of Jen after the fact. About a million fake Jennies are, and this is quite literal, showing up everywhere from the Solomon Islands, and I can't stress this enough, literally, Timbuktu. Jenny Dash, supposedly, is in Timbuktu. Can you believe it? Oh yeah, and she's dyed her hair white and painted her skin jet black. Psh, Jen Dash, she's everywhere you want to be. I know his name. To me, he has much fame. The Shining Man. No. Something beyond. Beyond the Shining Man. That's where we'll find the shame. I want to love. Nate, I want to love. Petra, I'm dying to love. But there's nothing to fit love into. It has to fit. Love without meaning isn't love. Love without meaning has no dimension, and dimensionless things don't exist. What does that say about me? So, what's really going on here? What's the truth?
I've got your answer right here.
Jennifer Dash isn't born yet. Bam. Well, that's to say, she's not born here. She's from the future. Or something somewhere else.
The branches reach up, far, 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 climbing up, and up, and up. Take arms, take your legs, and mount it. Climb up its path, up and up. Hold onto the knots in the tree. Use them to stabilize yourself. What do you see all the way up? Nothing. You cannot. Not yet. You're still you, living this life here on the terrestrial level.
Here's the truth. In the future, or in alternate universe of humans, we figured out time travel. But, you know, these time-traveling wizards are super keen on not falling in love with their grandmother or whatever. So this requires a very calculated approach. Jennifer Dash is the real Arnold Schwarzenegger from the future. The real Terminator. She's our real Terminator. Except, she's bouncing here and there and everywhere, slowly undoing the destruction of the world.
It would be inappropriate to pretend we could, from here, envision the heavens. We cannot. To us, it's all mist and ash, cloud and calm chaos.
Resurrection. Well, that's on the next tape. The tree is made of hope. Men and women invented it. It's like a big fat zit. A balloon waiting to pop, pop, pop. No one can stop, 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 stop the mind before it relinquishes all kind. He wanted to love Miles. He said he loved me. He said he loved me. He's the only one.
But from this high perch, don't abandon it yet. It tells us something very important. It holds a secret. Look down. Look. Look. What do you see? The very thing you've been climbing. It no longer resembles a tree, does it? No, sir or madame. It is, after all, not a tree. Not branches with leaves. It is simple. One of the simplest images in all the world. It is a ladder. A ladder. A ladder for climbing.
Look, here's the thing. Miss Crotone, she wasn't searching for some magical pagan manuscript written by the Garden of Eden serpent riding on top of unicorn with the help of the sugar plum fairy of Loch Ness. She's transporting important people.
Duh.
I think not necessarily to the future, but to an alternate universe made up of us. There are many worlds, people. Infinite possibilities. It's all there in quantum mechanics. It's the double slit experiment.
It can't be denied.
We live in one of the suckiest of all worlds. But there's folks here that aren't anywhere else. Right? Certain life experiences. That can't be duplicated. In other universes, other alternate realities. Everything you do changes you, and so this world is slightly different than every other universe. It can't quite be replicated ever. And if it was, as soon as you did anything to that universe, it would change, and then you would be changed. So if there's someone you like in this universe, you just can't clone them. You have to drag them out of this universe and put them in yours. So you see, Jen, and likely many other people as well, are surfing through time and space, transporting very important persons from here to alternate land. That's how and why Lilith Babbitt fell into the sky. I think the child sacrifice thing was just a ruse to confuse us. Listen to Dash's speech to us 21st century Earthlings. Listen, really listen. She's preparing us. In an alternate reality, she and the very best of us are planning a way to save us. But they're gonna do it weirdly. Back in time. This is all time-traveling stuff.
He said he loved me. But he left me. He betrayed me. He said he loved me. Is that what love looks like? Is that all I have to hold on to? Is that everything? He said he loved me. He said. Having already abandoned her script and her rhyming scheme, Jen hurled herself off her self-imposed stage. She bounded into the lavatory, dropped her knees to the floor, and vomited into the toilet. Nate and Petra wondered if they should do something. But what could be done? They sat in awe and wonder, surprise, and confusion.
They have to reset our timeline. We'll be collapsed into a better reality soon. Photons can be particles and energy at the same time. It's right there, people. Physics. But they're still all one. That photon is still one thing. Jen was on the Orion to bring Miles Faw, this wonder kid and psychic reader dude, into her realm. She needs him for some reason. She needs smart people to help her accomplish whatever it is she's trying to do. Collapsing the universes into one mega reality, I think.
Jen, overcome with emotions she couldn't handle, scrummaged for her stash of Balaam. She downed one pill. Two.
Jennifer Dash.
Three.
Jennifer
four.
Lash.
Five. Six. And slept.
Bible is right. We have a savior. I love you, Jen. You're my savior. I want to make millions of space babies with you in all the dimensions. You wait and see. She'll save us. Oh, and her body that Smugly killed? She's an interdimensional crusader. She can die 1,000 times over here. She's from the future, guys. Or, you know, alternate land. So even if she dies here, she's alive over there. Essentially, she's playing us like an arcade game. She dies, then comes back with life number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. She died in that Texas town. She died in New Zealand. Heck, she's probably died in Timbuktu. She's mining the world, gathering helpers for her work, just like John Galt in Atlas Shrugged. Come get me, Jenny Poo. I figured it. Come make love to me.
What are you?
Spencer, come in. Can you hear me? Spencer, come in. Spencer, I need confirmation. I need to know what to do. Do you want me to just keep following? Spencer, that seems foolish. Do you want me to keep just following? Spencer, I've lost all internet access. I can't even access the shroud. I can't access shroud feeds. Spencer!
subscribe to my show. Click here.
Hey guys, I'm Hunter Pembency, and I have a serious crush on Jennifer Dash. Subscribe to my channel and check out my newest video, 10 Sexy Facts About J Dash You Didn't Know. Do you know how long her tongue is? I've crunched the numbers, and I figured it. Or how about her favorite color of baseball socks? It's orange. That's a freebie. How do I know? I figured it. Click now.
The addiction took over Jen's life. She slept through most days, taking 8, 9, 10 pills a day. Nate and Petra learned through fire how to sail. And sail they did. They talked to each other, night and day. Became more than mere lovers. They became the best of friends. All while Jen slept dreamless, yet calmless hours, days, weeks away. Then the day came when, from a distance, a very long distance, it appeared to the crew of the Intrepid that great wooden walls ascended into the sky out of nowhere. It looked like a forest erupted out of the ocean blue. Petra shook Jen. Hey, Jen, wake up! Wake up! Come see this! As usual, with insistent and vivacious shaking, Jennifer Dash could indeed be awoken. She peeked her head out, saw the forest for the trees, and dipped back below the deck. Down a pill. One. Down a pill. Two. Down a pill. Three. Four. Five. Six. Seven. Eight. Nine. 10. 11. Don't stop. 12. 13. 14. Nevermore. 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 As they neared, Nates and Petra saw. It wasn't a forest sticking out of the ocean. It was a wall. A wall protecting an island. Protecting Eden. Jen began convulsing. Nates and Petra tried to wake her as their boat drew near the fortified island. The convulsing stopped. She wasn't breathing. Nates carried Jen's body, lifted her over his head. As the boat buoyed just outside the large wooden walls of Eden, Petra screamed,
"Help! Help us! She's not breathing! Help!"
And his eyes have all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming. And the lamplight o'er him streaming throws his shadow on the floor. And my soul from out the shadow that lies floating on the floor shall be lifted. Nevermore!
Ooh, dolly.
Hey guys, this is Dante Stack. All music and sound effects used in this episode and every other episode of Solve the World are appropriately attributed on our show notes page at DanteStack.com. Guys, we're getting down to it. After today's episode, there's just 10 eps left. And it being Christmas season, I need to take a little break. I need to inhale and be ready to push for these final 10 episodes. So I'm going to take the next 2 weeks off, so Solve the World will return in all its glory for the final 10, starting Tuesday, January 10th. But as something interesting to release in the meantime, this Friday, and I'll just leave this up for a few days, but I'm going to rebroadcast an episode I did for my other podcast last year, my other podcast being 365 Honest Questions. But last year, I did a Christmas episode where I looked at the origins of many of our Christmas traditions. So I looked at the Yule log, the Christmas tree, obviously Santa, and things like mistletoe, and looked at, in most cases, their pagan origins and how that meshes with our westernized Christian Christmas traditions. So it's a little interesting and it's holiday related. So I'm going to put that up in the Solve the World feed. So if that's something that interests you, great. Have a little extra Christmas cheer and maybe that'll get you interested in my other podcast as well. But again, I'll just leave that up for a week or so and then take it down, and I'll see you in 2017. See ya.